Good evening and welcome. Thank you for joining this telephone town hall. I'm Bill Boyce, Fire Chief here at the City of Brampton, and I'll be your moderator this evening. If you'd like to ask a question tonight, please press *3 on your phone now or at any time during this town hall. Tonight we're going to be hearing from Alain Normand, our Community Emergency Management Coordinator with Brampton Emergency Management, our Mayor, Patrick Brown, Dr. Monica Howe, the Associate Medical Officer of Health with the Region of Peel, Dr. Naveed Mohammed, the President and CEO of William Osler Health System, and he'll be joining us a little bit later around 7 p.m., and he'll give us an update when he joins in. We also have Peel Regional Police Deputy Chief Randy Patrick, myself, Bill Boyce, the Fire Chief at Brampton Fire, Chief Peter Dundas from Peel Regional Paramedic Services, and also we have representatives from our four mayor's task forces on the line tonight. From the Social Support Task Force, we have Councillor Santos and Councillor Bowman. From the Seniors Support Task Force, we have Councillor Fortini and Councillor Dillon. From the Youth Support Task Force, we have Councillor Williams and Councillor Singh. And from the Economic Support Task Force, we have Councillor Vicente and Councillor Pelleschi. Also, we have a backyard garden program, which has been led by Councillor Doug Willens, and the Mayor's Recovery and Reopening Group, led by Councillor Medeiros. So we also have joining us tonight to help answer your questions, Paul Morrison, our Director of Bylaw and Enforcement, along with Anand Patel, our Director of Recreation. And finally, we have our Chief Administrative Officer, David Barrick, joining on the line as well. So if you'd like to ask a question tonight, please press *3. And like we do each week, we're going to give each one of our guests an opportunity here tonight to provide an update. And first, we're going to go to our Community Emergency Management Coordinator, Alain Normand, with his update. Alain, go ahead.
Thank you, Chief. Good evening, everybody, and I hope everybody is staying safe. I want to talk tonight a little bit about the drive-through assessment center that we have at South Fletcher Community Center. Please note that the rules from the province have changed. The people who will be tested are only people with symptoms, so people who are asymptomatic will be actually turned around and sent back home. In the coming days, we're just changing the layout. If you've been to South Fletcher for testing previously, you have maybe an idea of how the layout is. That layout is going to change in order for us to be able to do this. Right now, if you're going through, and if you're, like this morning, we had at 7:30, we had over 200 cars lined up, and they take about four cars every 5 minutes, so a total of about 50 cars per hour, 250 cars, that's almost 5 hours. So people who arrived at 7:35 in the morning were not served until about, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, which means if you really want to be tested, you have to wait a long time. And it'd be sad if once you reach that screening that you're told that, no, you're not eligible to do the test because you don't have any symptoms. So the pre-screening will ask you all sorts of questions. They will take your temperature, and they will determine whether or not you are eligible for a test or not. So if you know you have no symptoms, if you are sure that, if you're only worried because you've been in contact possibly with somebody, wait a few days, and then possibly if you start to develop symptoms, then go and get tested. Otherwise, help us reduce the line, make the lines smaller staying home and not having to wait. If you have to wait 4 hours, that means, a lot of idling, a lot of use of gasoline and pollution and all of these things, and just wasting your time. So please think about it before coming to be tested. We do, if you are, really in a situation where you need to be tested, please go ahead. But be aware of what the new conditions, the new rules from the province are, and how we're going to be enforcing those at the center. So just an update on that. Just wanted to make sure everybody was aware of what was happening and how these changes from the province. Now, mind you, the province has also established a number of pharmacies that are able to provide testing by appointment. So check on our website. We have the list of the pharmacies that are in Brampton that do offer these tests. Give them a call if you want, and they will be able to put you through by appointment only. That's my update. Other than that, We're continuing to reopen the services at the city. In part, we're reopening actually at South Fletcher. We're having the hockey rinks being reopened. There's a lot of hockey enthusiasts that have been waiting for quite a while to get there, and we're going to start to be able to provide them with some ice time. They'll be very happy for that. Other than that, we're still trying to make sure that everybody stays safe, and we need your participation to make that goal happen. Thank you, Chief.
Great. Thank you very much, Len. And just a reminder to everybody listening, if you'd like to ask a question tonight, to please press star 3. And we're going to go now to our Mayor, Patrick Brown, with his update. Mayor Brown.
Chief Boyce, and thank you, Chief, for moderating our Teletown Hall. We do these twice a month. As I said at the beginning of the pandemic, I wanted to make sure that the residents of Brampton have the same briefings that I get. I want to make sure you have all the information. I believe that during a pandemic, transparency is critical. You need to have awareness of all details. And I'm grateful for the fact that leaders in our community take the time every 2 weeks to come and give a detailed briefing and then answer any question you may have. I think it's unique that we have this in Brampton. I don't think this is happening anywhere else in the country where we have the leadership of the police, the first responders like paramedics, fire, Dr. Naveed Muhammad, who runs Osler Health, Dr. Lawrence Lowe, who is on regularly, his deputy, Dr. Monica Howe at Peel Public Health is on. I think it's pretty special that we have this level of accessibility, accountability, and transparency. Now, things are getting a little more challenging as expected. We knew that there was going to be potentially a second wave when the flu season started again. And although technically we're not in a second wave in Peel region, we are seeing escalating numbers around the province. And I think it's a real reminder of how careful we need to be and listen to the advice of public health. A few updates I wanted to give you on my advocacy front. I've been concerned about the wait times for testing. As you know, I was pushing the province for assistance, and that led to the opening of a second clinic in September with Peel Memorial Clinic. Temporary, we also had Greenbrier set up to help with excess volume, and now we have a number of pharmacies that are taking appointments, which is unique that Brampton has so many pharmacies doing COVID tests. The second thing that I push for that is important is I was concerned about the length of time that it was taking to get COVID tests back. In Mississauga, they had local processing. In Toronto, they had local processing. But in Brampton, we only have permission to process 150 tests locally, which meant the rest of the tests we had a courier to Toronto, and the wait time to get those results back was four times longer. Well, good news, Dr. Naveed Muhammad and myself, we were unrelenting in the pressure we put on the province to get support to have local processing, and just recently we were informed that in 3 weeks' time we'll be granted permission to process 800 tests locally, and shortly thereafter, 1,600 tests a day locally, which is similar capacity to Mississauga. So that's going to mean when you get your COVID test, you'll get the results back faster, which is important because if you're not going to get the test results back in a timely manner, what's the point of getting tested? And so I'm very encouraged by that. You know, this is one of the big asks that I had of the provincial government, and glad that they've come to the table. The other thing that I want to mention is one area that I've got a little bit of concern on, and I'm going to appreciate everyone being careful, is we are seeing some transmission in banquet halls and weddings. And so I want everyone to be extra careful. If you're at a banquet hall, if there is some milestone celebration, it doesn't mean that we can revert back to behavior that occurred before the pandemic. You can't be relaxed. And the need for physical distancing, masks, are just as critical. And frankly, if we continue to see behavior that is relaxed in banquet halls, I spoke to the premier about this, you're going to see banquet halls shut down as well. I want to thank our restaurant owners. I'm told that the transmission in Brampton restaurants is very minimal because everyone's being very careful. So good on our local restaurants for being extra aggressive in making sure that people maintain their distance and are wearing masks when they're not seated. The last thing I wanted to mention, I just wanted to give a big thank you to the unsung heroes. We have a lot of unsung heroes in our community. And last week when I gave a press briefing, Dr. Lawrence Lowe was talking about it, that we've seen people in the trucking industry acquire the virus south of the border. And so although our numbers have not been out of step with the province in the last 2 weeks, we've seen Toronto's numbers much higher and Ottawa numbers much higher, and Peel region has been hasn't really seen the escalation. But you know, a few weeks ago when we had some higher Peel numbers, you know, people were saying, "What's happening in Brampton and Mississauga?" And my response was, "You know, we've got these essential workers. Some people have the choice to work from home. If you're working in the transportation logistics sector, you do not have the choice to work at home. We have 11,000 residents working in the transportation logistics sector." These are frontline heroes. You know, these are people going across the border every day, truckers, people that work at Amazon, helping maintain the supply chain for Canada. If you're in Canada and you go to a grocery store, the likelihood is someone in Brampton has contributed to that food being on the shelf, that someone in Brampton has contributed to that supply chain. We have the largest transportation logistics sector in the country. Amazon, their major factory in Brampton. The trucking industry, the largest per capita in Brampton. And not even to mention the fact that we've got a major network of medical laboratories that face a higher risk. We have the largest food processing sector in the country. We have 8,500 people who work in the food processing sector. So for those unsung heroes who take a greater risk, for those who have confronted and acquired COVID-19 in the line of their work, I want to say thank you, because I know you were selfless. You went to work. You helped Canada. You've helped our economy. You've helped our supply chain. You've helped us maintain food security, and you did it at your expense of your personal health. And for that, I am grateful for the dedication of those Bramptonians. And I would note, you know, in July we had a few rowdy parties that I was a little bit upset about, and you know, we issued some pretty significant fines. But I want to say more recently, we haven't seen any of that. This weekend, we didn't have a single ticket for social gatherings. Put that in context, back in July, at one point we had 120 tickets. So what I'm seeing is Brampton is understanding the severity of this virus, and I want to thank everyone for the higher level of compliance we're seeing. The only thing I'd say that we need to give people a bit of a nudge on is keep on wearing those masks. I am getting some complaints in grocery stores or in malls or Walmart. I'm hearing some reports that people aren't wearing their masks. We had to lay 27 fines last week for people not wearing their mask. So please, everyone, be extra diligent on wearing your mask. Unless you have a medical condition, you have to wear a mask. So that's my update. I'm looking forward to the questions and the updates tonight. And as always, Brampton, stay safe, stay healthy.
Thank you very much, Mayor Brown, for the detailed update. Similar to each week, we conduct polling questions to help inform us as a city how we move forward in dealing with this COVID pandemic. And our first question tonight that we'd like to get your feedback on is, what is your preferred way to access city services? Press 1 for online options, press 2 for visiting a city facility, and press 3 for calling 311. Again, the question, what is your preferred way to access city services? Press 1 for online options, press 2 for visiting a city facility, and press 3 to call 311. And we'll come back to those results in a few moments. I'd like to go now to our Economic Support Task Force, one of our councillor leads, Councillor Paul Vicente, with an update. Councillor Vicente.
Thank you very much, Chief Boyce, and good evening, everyone. Thanks, Mayor. October, as everyone may know, is Small Business Month, and we all know how challenging these times have been for our small business community. So we're just making an appeal to everyone in the City of Brampton to remind you that we want you to support local businesses whenever possible. Our small businesses need us now more than ever, so let's show them how much we appreciate them. In particular, with respect to our local restaurants, as the mayor mentioned, we want to be supporting them. So as we continue to avoid an increase in COVID-19 numbers, please, by all means, take advantage of our takeout options. And if you're dining in, make sure that you follow all the safety procedures, but do support our local businesses. We encourage you to share pictures and stories about your favorite local businesses or restaurants on social media. So use the hashtag #SupportLocal and let's make some noise about these important parts of our city. On behalf of the Economic Support Task Force that continues to provide services and support to our business community, for myself and Regional Councillor Michael Pileschi and our team at Brampton's Economic Development Office, we are here to help. So if you have any questions, please send us an email at covid19business@brampton.ca. Chief, that's all I have. Thanks.
That's great. Thank you very much, Councillor Vicente. And we also have Councillor Roana Santos, one of the council leads of our Social Support Task Force, with an update. Councillor Santos?
Thank you, Chief, and good evening, everyone. On behalf of Councillor Bowman and myself, the co-chairs of the Social Support Task Force, we want to thank the team from the Social Support Task Force and all of our volunteers who continue to do tremendous work. Over the past couple of weeks, the Social Support Task Force has been busy assembling backpacks for the back-to-school programs and kids going back to school, as well as emergency kits to be more prepared, especially during the winter months, should we see further escalations in the number of cases. In addition to that, I just wanted to pitch to everybody listening that our food banks and our food anchors and our community organizations still need support. The Knights Table and Regeneration are still asking for food donations and also donations. Thanksgiving is coming up as well as Christmas. So please don't forget to donate those non-perishable food items to our local food banks as they will still continue to need our support. Thank you so much, Chief.
Thank you very much, Councillor Santos. We'd like to go now to our next update, which comes from Dr. Monica Howe, the Associate Medical Officer of Health with the Region Appeal, sitting in for Dr. Lowe. And Dr. Howe, I believe you've joined us before, and thank you very much for joining us this evening. Please go ahead with your update.
Thank you very much for the introduction and the opportunity to give an update on COVID-19 and the activities of Peel Public Health. So, to date, Peel Public Health has investigated around 5,600 cases of COVID-19 in Brampton. Of these, around 700 are active and around 4,900 have recovered, and we've had 95 deaths. Last week, we saw our 7-day moving average of cases move to the highest point in the course of the pandemic at an average of 86 cases per day. However, we are reassured that our hospitalizations remain manageable, and we will continue to carefully watch that particular indicator in the coming weeks. We're also reassured that our outbreak investigators and contact tracers are still able to determine where transmission is happening in 80 to 90% of our cases. We do continue to see this pattern of COVID cycling between our workplaces, homes, and social gatherings. So we continue to work to prevent transmission in our most vulnerable settings, such as schools, senior settings, and hospitals. However, we do know that as our cases are experiencing growth, we know that the risk does increase. And so we need your help to stop transmission and continue to shrink your bubbles to only those in your household and essential supports. Continue to practice the core four behaviors, such as staying apart greater than 2 meters, wearing a mask, washing your hands, and testing when symptomatic. Thank you very much for the continuing part you do every day to protect yourselves and others in our region. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Howe. Before we go to our next update now, we're going to look at the results of our first poll, which the question was, what is your preferred way to access city services? And with the three options being online, with 46% responding, visiting a city facility, only 11%, and calling 311, 43%. So we see an overwhelming result to not visit in person and use other means such as online or phone, which is great during this difficult time that we're facing now with COVID. We're going to go on to our next update now, which is with Deputy Chief of Peel Regional Police, Randy Patrick. Deputy Patrick.
Yes, good evening, Chief, and thanks again to Mayor Brown for hosting these town halls and inviting Peel Regional Police to participate. By way of an update, I can tell you that Peel Regional Police is operating at full capacity and at our regular service levels, which puts us in a good position for any challenges in the future. We still continue to address one of the main issues we have seen during this pandemic, and that's the aggressive and dangerous driving in our communities. As a matter of fact, tomorrow at 10 a.m., Peel Regional Police will be hosting a press conference to provide an overview of Project Drift. This project was in collaboration with York Regional Police and the Ontario Provincial Police, and it's an investigation into highly organized and coordinated street racing events. So stay tuned for that press conference tomorrow. So thanks again for having us, and to all our listeners, please stay safe, stay healthy. Thank you.
Actually, it's Mayor Brown here, Chief. Maybe we can get an update from the police, too, on the enforcement of the federal quarantine. I know I was just at a police board retreat, and they were giving us an update of, I think we've had 2,000 man hours in police time now enforcing the federal quarantine. And so if anyone hears of someone who's coming from out of the country and they're supposed to spend 14 days in quarantine, if you hear that they're not doing so, you can report that to the Peel Police, and they will take carriage of it. They will take it seriously, and maybe you could reference the process for that. If someone has a neighbor they believe has come from overseas and they're not abiding by the quarantine, how would they go about reporting that?
Yes, certainly, Mayor. And first of all, we're doing proactive checks as well. So we're provided with a list of residents in the region of Peel who have re-entered the country after traveling abroad. And we proactively will contact those people looking to see if they're abiding by the quarantine, their 14-day quarantine. And to date, we've done over, we're approaching 900 of those checks. And as you indicated, approximately, 2,000 man hours to do that. But, you know, some people are obviously aware that people have been out of the country and have returned to their homes and should be abiding by the 14-day quarantine act. The 14-day quarantine. So if they are concerned about that, they can contact Peel Regional Police just through our regular number, 905-453-3311, and just let us know what your concerns are, and we'll have somebody check into it.
Thank you very much, Mayor Brown and Deputy Patrick. Hello, everyone. I'm Bill Boyce, the fire chief here at the City of Brampton, and just an update from Brampton Fire and Emergency Services. Throughout the pandemic, Brampton Fire has continued to provide emergency response services throughout since March, and we continue to do so. And I just want to pass along what's coming up in Brampton is an important week for us in the fire service. It's Fire Prevention Week, which runs from October 4th to October 10th. And this year, the theme is to really look at and preventing unattended cooking fires. That's the number one cause of fires across the province and in Brampton. And, you know, some very basic things that you can do is that if you're cooking, please stay by and keep an eye on what you're doing. If you're cooking, alcohol and drugs don't mix. We see too many fires that happen when people do mix drugs and alcohol with cooking. So just a reminder that you must have working smoke alarms and working carbon monoxide alarms in your home. You need to check them regularly. Make sure the batteries are installed. Make sure they're in good working condition. They truly do save lives. We see it all the time that when there's a fire, people with working smoke alarms are able to exit and get out safely, and it really makes our jobs as firefighters that much easier to know that you're out safely. So we just pass along that important safety message. It would be appreciated. I will go now to the Chief of Peel Regional Paramedic Services, Chief Peter Dundas.
Thanks, Chief Boys, and thanks, Mayor Brown, and especially thanks to the residents of Brampton and especially those that are online today. The paramedics, we continue to be diligent in our battle against COVID, and you may encounter the odd delay if you call for our service because paramedics need to don the appropriate equipment to make sure that you, your family, and themselves are protected during the care that we deliver to you. So please stay diligent with the practices of staying distant, don't gather, wear masks, and wash your hands regularly. Please stay safe. We're all in this together. Thanks very much. Over to you, Chief Boyce.
Thank you very much, Chief Dundas. And we will have Dr. Naveed Mohammed, the President and CEO of William Osler Health, joining in a few moments. Before we get to that update and the first questions, I'd like to remind everybody that if you would like to ask a question, please press star 3 on your phone. Tonight's town hall is going to go to 8 p.m. as usual, and we look forward to hearing your questions. And with that, we're going to go to our first caller and our first question of the evening, which comes from Frank. Frank, if you're there, go ahead with your question, please.
Thank you very much, sir. Well, I mean, if people travel out of Canada to wherever they may go, upon returning back to Canada, when they have the COVID-19 test where they went, and they come in Canada, stay quarantined for 14 days, do they need to see their doctors, go to hospital before they can go to the public?
Thank you very much, Frank, for the question, and I'll put that to Dr. Howe. Dr. Howe?
Thank you for the question. So for people who are returning from travel, it is important that they do quarantine for the 14 days as they may develop it within that time. And the current recommendation is to test if you develop symptoms of COVID-19 during that time. But if you are symptom-free at the end of that time, then you are okay to continue on.
Thank you very much, Dr. Howe, for the response, and to Frank for the question. We'll go now to our second question, which goes to Steve. Steve, if you're there, go ahead with your question, please.
Good evening. How's everybody doing?
Very well.
I'm concerned not so much. I've been hearing that there's an indication to get your regular flu vaccine, and I know it won't be available until sometime in October type thing, so I'm not going to rush out to hoard it or anything like the paper people are doing. But my concern is the senior vaccine that's also supposed to be coming out in previous years has only been available at doctor's facilities. So is there a different protocol? Is there some way that the vaccine is going to be distributed this year that's different?
Thank you very much, Steve, and maybe I can let Dr. Howe respond to that question. Dr. Howe?
Yeah, thanks for the question. So really important, great to hear that you're getting your flu shot. It's important every year to get your flu shot, but particularly this year so that we can decrease the number of respiratory infections in the community. And so the flu shot, as you're right, will be out in the community sometime in October. And certainly when we get more information, we can continue to alert the community about options, as I believe that option is being currently considered for seniors in particular. But certainly your pharmacies will be a convenient way of accessing the flu shot.
Thank you, Dr. Howe, and thank you, Steve, for the question. As we go to our next question, Barbara, are you there with your question, Barbara?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, good evening to everyone, and thank you for all of this. My question is, I work in a store where I have people come in who do not have a mask, do not have a shield, and they say, I am exempt. Is there any plans in the near future that they would have to produce some kind of proof without invading their privacy, something that they can get from their doctor, a name tag, something they can wear around their neck, or just a badge that they could show, because anyone can walk into your store and say, well, I'm exempt because they don't want to wear one. And that is my question. Is there going to be somewhere down the road that without invading their privacy, they can actually prove that they don't really need to wear any kind of mask?
Thank you very much, Barbara, for the question. I think we do have Paul Morrison, our Director of Bylaw Enforcement online, plus Dr. Howe. So maybe I'll let Dr. Howe start, and then Director Morrison can comment after. Dr. Howe?
Yeah, thank you. So I think it's great to hear that you are encouraging the use of masks within your stores, as we know that it's one of the key prevention measures of spreading COVID, to prevent the spread of COVID. And we know that some people are unable to wear a mask due to a particular medical condition, and at this time we're not asking people to get doctor's notes or proof, as we are, trusting that people will do the right thing and be honest about whether or not they do have an exemption. Would encourage, though, that recognizing that, and I'm sure you have this in place in your store, you know, the prevention measures around distancing markers and barriers such as plexiglass to protect yourself and other customers as much as possible.
Thank you very much, Dr. Howe. And Director Morrison, would you like to comment on just how bylaw staff deals with when they see people without masks and potential exemptions?
Absolutely. Thank you. Barbara, what we do is we walk into the premises and we have a good look around. And we see that type of activity taking place. Dr. Howe is entirely correct. The person saying, I have an exemption is good enough, but we do observe their activities, and we feel if they are not telling the truth, We will interact with them a little bit more. We'll watch, but we'll also remind them that social distancing is also a concern for us. Although they don't have to wear the mask on an exemption, they still have to social distance. So they have to keep their 6 feet apart from everybody else and maintain that. So that's a concern for us. So we can give a ticket for that if we wish.
Thank you very much, Paul, and thanks, Dr. Howe. Just again, a reminder to everyone listening that if you'd like to ask a question, please press *3. We'll go now to our next question, which comes from Jane. Jane, if you're there, go ahead with your question, please.
Hi.
Hi, Jane. Go ahead with your question, please.
Okay. My question is, my dad's in a long-term care facility, and I've been getting tested every 2 weeks. Luckily, I've been negative. I'm able to see him. It's great that Shoppers are doing the testing. But I went for a test, it was last Friday, before at the assessment center. I know there's more tests now, but my test results were like available the next day, 2 days, and I'm 5 days. My test results aren't online. I phoned the Shoppers today to ask them if there was any issues, and they said that they have only received back 2 results. So what labs are these tests going to, and what's the holdup with them? Because I need the test to be able to see my dad. So that's my question.
This is a great question. It's Mayor Brown here. Let me jump in. I can tell you I can relate to your concern. My grandmother is in a long-term care facility. She's 106, and thank God she's okay. And she was in a long-term care facility that had a pretty horrible outbreak. I want to visit her regularly as well, and so I've gone to get tested. And it was one of the frustrations I had about us having to courier our results to Toronto, because I was hearing stories where it was 5 days to get test results back. I was getting correspondence from some people that said it took up to 2 weeks. Now usually it's not that long, but it's why Dr. Navid's push to have local processing is so critical. And you know, I want to thank you for sharing your story, because I'll tell that to the premier. He calls me regularly to ask what's happening in Brampton, and I'll tell him, we have to have a better system where you can visit a loved one. And if you have to wait 5 days to get your results back, it speaks to a gap in the system. I'm not sure if Dr. Navid's on the call yet, if he has any advice on this, or if Dr. Monica does, but we'll stay on this because we have to get faster results. And I have to say, there is a bit of glimmer of hope. Health Canada, I understand, just approved a rapid COVID test. And so I'm not sure the timelines of when that's going to be on the market, but the fact that Health Canada has approved it, and that the Government of Canada is, I think, purchased 7 million tests, means that at some point in the future, we're going to have access to much more rapid testing. And maybe Dr. Monica have an update on that from the federal health table.
Thank you very much, Mayor Brown, and maybe Dr. Howe, you could comment on these. We're getting some people asking questions about these new rapid test kits and when they may come available and potentially how they would work. Maybe you could provide that information to everyone listening.
Sure. So with regards to the rapid COVID-19 tests, that's great news that Health Canada has been approving them. I know that there's been a number of different types of tests from companies that have been waiting. And I think the type of test would be hoped that it could be done within an hour. I believe most of the rapid tests are less time than that, so that people could really get a result much more at not quite in real time, but at the point of care. And we're really hoping that this can then help us get a better pulse on what's going on and not have to, unfortunately, as you know, there are others with symptoms needing to isolate and wait for that test result, particularly as we know that the demand has increased quite a bit. So I just want to thank you for your continued patience and your due diligence in taking these prevention measures.
Thank you very much, Mayor Brown and Dr. Howe. Our next question comes from Laura. Laura, if you're there, go ahead with your question, please.
Good evening, everybody. I'm just calling. I called bylaw several times, you know, trying to get the protocols for bars, restaurants. Is there any way that you can make it easier? Because I can call three times in a row, get different people, and I get a different answer. And we are trying so hard to follow the rules. Some people say they look into the pages, and then, like, I mean, I've had a few really good people there, and I'm on the phone, like, for 45 minutes because she's got to go here, there, everywhere, and they've given me numbers for different places. Is there any way we could have something easier to find out the information we need to follow the safety rules?
Sure. Thank you very much, Laura. And I'll pass this over to our director, Paul Morrison, who can comment on restaurants and the bylaws related to that. And afterwards, we can also have Dr. Howe weigh in as well. Paul Morrison?
Absolutely. What we do is when you have your call come in, it goes to our 311 operators. And our 311 operators are versed in many of the rules and regulations that are required by restaurants, by local sports clubs, et cetera. They field the calls and they give you as much information as they can. And we do have a lot of those operators. So it will from time to time change slightly based on the knowledge of the operator. When they can't answer the question, then they put it over to enforcement. We typically don't take those calls directly because we are out on the road doing our enforcement activities. And we're trying to focus primarily on the COVID and the safety concerns. So if you don't get the answer you want, then call bylaw directly, and we will try to help you out with that by phone if we can. And if we can't, we have made appearances at the different commercial premises in the city. Other than that, it would be actually Dr. Howe and Public Health that would tell you what you need to do to apply to provincial and regional and city standards.
Thank you, Paul, and I'll ask Dr. Howe to elaborate on that. Dr. Howe?
Hi, thanks so much for the question. In regards to the regulations around restaurants, it's a combination of provincial guidance as well as some local municipal factors. So the province does indicate that you need to maintain records of any patrons to the restaurant, collecting their name and phone number, ensuring that you know that they can attest that they don't have any symptoms of COVID-19, and they then that way we have records in the event that we need to do contact tracing. Within the restaurant itself, ensuring that distancing of 2 meters between seats and the next closest table for patrons is important, continuing to offer easy access to hand sanitizer, and ideally book reservations and have time limits so that you can cohort, which means like limit the number of people that may be in a particular sitting at a time.
Thank you very much, Dr. Howe. Our next question comes from Natasha. Natasha, if you're there, please go ahead with your question.
Hi, good evening. Yes, I had a question. If you are asymptomatic and, like, are you able to get to be quarantined for the 14 days and the asymptomatic would be gone, or you'll always be asymptomatic? And are kids the same? Are they sometimes, some of them are, and sometimes they're not?
Thank you, Natasha, for the question. And again, I'll go back to Dr. Howe.
Thanks for the question. Well, certainly, we do know that there can be asymptomatic presentations of COVID-19, but it's not thought to be as common. There are, like, as in people being asymptomatic and truly staying asymptomatic, we do find that in children, they do tend to be more asymptomatic or have milder presentations of COVID-19. And part of that may be due to their age. They might not be able to, you know, self-report that they're not feeling that great. So, you know, there are some challenges in truly, you know, understanding that portion, but generally the presentation in kids is very good. They have great outcomes compared to older adults, so with fewer hospitalizations and long-term consequences. But essentially that we do know that COVID does have a range of presentations from mild to severe, and that people can be infectious 2 days before they do develop symptoms during that period, and that's why it's really important to continue to mask, because you could be in that what we call a pre-symptomatic phase where you could be able to pass on the virus without realizing it.
Great. Thank you very much, Dr. Howe. Moving on to our next question, just a reminder that if you're listening and you'd like to ask a question to any of the experts on the line, to please press star 3 on your phone now. We'll go now to our next question, which comes from Vince. Vince, go ahead, please.
Thank you. My name's Vince Siciliano. My question relates to Brampton Transit. My wife and I have had two opportunities to take Brampton Transit in the last 4 to 6 weeks, and in both instances we encountered a situation where the bus we took was overcrowded. Essentially every seat was occupied, and in the last instance, which was today, there were people standing because all the seats were occupied. What measures is the city of Brampton taking to enforce social distancing on public?
Thank you, Vince, for the question. And I'll pass this over to our manager of emergency management, Alain Normand.
Thank you for the question, Vince. Yes, it's not an easy task for a transit, because we do want to serve the public, and a lot of people have to go places. We've tried to reevaluate. Some of our routes are busier than others, and we constantly evaluate the volumes to try to have more buses on the routes which are busier. It's not an exact science, so you know, there are times when, yes, the buses may be a little bit overcrowded. The other thing is that the masks are mandatory on the buses, because we know that physical distancing is difficult to do. So we are asking everybody to actually to wear the mask when you're on transit. You know, there are still people that aren't doing it, and it's difficult for our bus operators to actually enforce it. We don't want them to get into a confrontation and, you know, they put themselves at risk. So they are going to try to ask people gently and nicely to wear the mask, but not get into any confrontation. So we're trying different things. We are aware that it's a difficult situation. We're asking for people's cooperation, and we're constantly reevaluating the volumes on our routes. That's the best we can do at this point. You know, thank you for the concern, though.
Thank you, Vincent. And just a reminder, too, that, I mean, our transit folks are doing an incredible job. The maintenance staff, the bus drivers, they've increased the cleaning and sanitization of buses. I know transit partners with our bylaw team, and I know Director Morrison's on the line, and maybe he can tell everybody a little bit about how bylaw has been continuously working with transit with respect to the mandatory mask bylaw. Director Morrison?
Thank you, Chief Boyce. What we do is we do go out quite often, as many times as we are applying proactive time, and visit the bus transit locations. We have in the past hand out masks to encourage the wearing of the masks on the bus if nobody has one. But we also remind people that social distancing is important. If you don't feel safe, don't get on the bus. There'll be another bus that comes by and you can take that. And you can report any concerns you have. We also rely on our transit operators to help us enforce capacities, as well as our City of Brampton security teams. So we do take it in a group effort to try to protect our transit takers. It's one of the most important services we can give to the city. So we will respond to any complaints, any concerns at any time.
Thank you very much, Paul and Elaine. We're going to go now to, again, our second poll of the evening. This is our final poll for tonight, and we would like to get your feedback. The second question is, do you support increased restrictions on social gatherings as case numbers rise to ensure the safety of our community? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no, press 3 for not sure. Again, the question, do you support increased restrictions on social gatherings as case numbers rise to ensure the safety of our community? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no, and press 3 for not sure. In a few moments, we will come back and review the results with you. We'll go now to our next question, which comes from Dan. Dan, if you're there, go ahead with your question, please.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My question is, I was wondering if you travel within Canada, do you have to 14-day isolate?
Thank you, Dan, for the question, and I'll pass that over to Dr. Howe.
Thanks for the question. So within Canada, there are no restrictions for travel from returning to Ontario from another region. I believe at one time the Atlantic provinces did have those restrictions. I'm not sure if they're still in place if you're going to an Atlantic region, but certainly when you are returning from another region back to Ontario, back to Brampton, there are no restrictions at this time.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Monica. I was with Dr. Lowe this morning when we were doing a press briefing on CP24, and he got asked the same question. He mentioned that because the COVID conditions are very similar around Canada, that the federal rules don't require a quarantine, and so it's a great time to see parts of your country that maybe you haven't seen. If you wanted to go explore British Columbia or Quebec, there are opportunities for domestic travel. I think many people took advantage of that in the summer. There is an Atlantic bubble, though. So in Atlantic Canada, you have to do a 14-day quarantine once you get to Atlantic Canada. But a great time to learn more about Canada, given the restrictions that exist internationally.
Great. Thank you very much, Dr. Howe and Mayor Brown. We're going to go on to our next question right now, which comes from Irene. Irene, go ahead, please.
I'd like to know if it's better to wear a cloth mask than the throwaway ones.
Thank you very much, Irene. I think a lot of people are wonder the answer to this question, and I think it's best if we pass it over to Dr. Monica Howe.
Yeah, thanks very much for the question, and I think it's really important to understand that what part of the effectiveness or an important component of the effectiveness of the mask and its protection is the fit around a particular around your face. And so we really want to see a good fit around the nose and the mask covering underneath your chin and comfortable We know that people wear masks for a long time, so comfort is important. And so those factors are key in helping you decide the type of mask that you use. As far as I'm aware, I don't believe, because of the variability between the types of the cloth masks and what we would call a non-medical mask, that might look like a medical mask but is not approved by Health Canada, but does look like one. We don't have studies, like with head-to-head studies with direct comparisons, just given the variability that exists out there. But I certainly would encourage you to choose something where it does have a good fit and is comfortable for you.
Chief Boyce, if I could add something, it's Paul Morrison.
Yeah, perfect. Go ahead, Paul. Thank you.
In addition to what Dr. House says, from a perspective of enforcement, and I know it's near and dear to the mayor's heart, is where you are trying to make that decision for their mask, we would prefer you would go to a cloth mask, in the sense that we find that very few people throw the cloth masks away, where a lot of people are still throwing away the disposal masks, the non-surgical masks, so there'd be less littering of those in our city. We'd appreciate that.
That's great. Thank you very much, Paul. I'd like now to review the results of our second poll of the evening. And the question was, do you support increased restrictions on social gatherings as case numbers rise to ensure the safety of our community? And I'll say that the overwhelming response is yes, they do support. Everyone on this call, 92%, the majority, supports those increase to potential restrictions. So thank you very much. We had 4% that said no and 4% not sure. Again, 92% said yes, they support increased restrictions on social gatherings as case numbers rise. Our next question goes to Helen. Helen, if you're there, go ahead with your question, please.
Hello. My question is about the test centers. About 2 weeks ago, Greenbrier Recreation Center opened as a test center, and I was by there yesterday, and apparently they're closed. I was told by one of the staff who work there that they've closed it and others, and people are supposed to go just to the drugstores. Now, my concern is, if the drugstores are doing flu shots and the drugstores are doing COVID tests, it seems like the potential for cross-contamination is pretty high. Or are only certain stores going to do one and certain stores doing the other?
Thank you very much, Helen. I have Dr. Howe and Mayor Brown may add in afterwards. Thank you. Dr. Howe?
Yeah, thanks for the question. So with regards to the process for pharmacies, it is a very strict process in that people need to make an appointment and be screened to ensure that they don't have any symptoms prior to getting tested. In terms of the actual, delivery of flu and flu shots and testing at the same time, we do know that flu shots haven't landed in pharmacies yet, but I imagine that there will be very strict infection prevention and control measures so that people getting tested don't come into contact with other people getting their flu shot at the same time.
Thank you very much, Dr. Howe, and I'll pass it over to Mayor Brown. I know Mayor Brown's been advocating heavily for increased testing in Brampton and quicker results to testing, so
yeah,
you can touch on a little bit.
Thanks, Chief, and I'll continue to push the province for more testing capacity. I was happy when they opened up Greenbrier. When they closed it, they said, and they closed a facility in Mississauga at the same time, they said it's because we're getting all these pharmacy locations that will actually be greater capacity. If we start to notice there are challenges with how pharmacies handle this, I will certainly pick up the phone and speak to the Premier about it. But at this point, let's see how the pharmacy testing goes and watch it closely. But hopefully, given the, I think there's 8 pharmacies in Brampton that will be doing this this testing. That will handle a lot of this capacity, and it can be done in a safe manner. But you, the residents of Brampton, will be the first to tell me if it's not being done in a safe manner, or you notice things that are too risky. And don't hesitate to give us that feedback.
Thank you very much, Mayor Brown. On to our next question now, which comes from Darlene. Darlene, if you're there, go ahead with your question, please.
Hi, good evening, panel, and Patrick Brown. Thank you for letting us have this meeting. It means the world to us and to me. I have a question. I had an employee that worked with me, and she had a sore throat and a runny nose, so I sent her home because I wasn't sure what was going on, and she's still at home. Now, I don't know, it could have been allergies. I have no idea, but I didn't want to take the chance. So in that case, should she go and get tested just in case? And if not, does she just stay home and be quarantined? And if she does come back, or when she comes back, does she have to present something? Because it's so unclear, and I just don't know what to make of this. And one other question. She asked me, because I'm in touch with her, she's feeling fine and everything. But another question was, she's off for 2 weeks, and if she does not, she's going to go ahead and do it anyways, the testing, but if she does not test positive and she tests negative, who pays for her 2 weeks off? Because that's another situation. I was told that the government would possibly be part of that, maybe for, I don't know, to help. Sure. So I just want to know if you can answer that as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Darlene, for the question, and I'll pass this over to Dr. Howe.
So the question, and certainly you did the right thing in sending your sick employee home, and it sounds like you've been quite supportive while she's been off ill. Certainly, runny nose and sore throat are symptoms of COVID-19, and we would encourage people to get tested if they are symptomatic. With regards to depending on when she needs to come back, if she does test negative, it's dependent on whether or not she has a known exposure to a COVID-19 case. So if she doesn't know, she hasn't been in contact, hasn't been notified by the COVID-19 alert app, which we would encourage everyone to download, then she can return after she's feeling better, her symptoms have resolved, and she has tested negative. With regards to financial support, we do have information on our website on how people can access financial support should they indeed become positive for COVID-19, as well as certainly there's federal government supports as well for that.
Thank you very much, Dr. Howe. And I know now we'd like to go to Mayor Brown. I know Mayor Brown would like to give everyone a quick update here. Mayor?
Chief, and just wanted to say that at 7:30 I'm signing off, but you're in the good hands of Chief Boyce and with Dr. Monica for any technical questions you may have. Today is my wedding anniversary, and as they say, a happy wife, happy life, and so we're going to be having a dinner tonight that I am going to be in trouble with if I don't get to, but I just wanted to let everyone know that's why I'm not going to be on the call for the last half an hour, but I know many of you just want to get the straight details from Dr. Monica at Peel Public Health or Dr. Naveed at Osler Health, and that's why we have these calls, so you can get the same briefings that we get at City Hall. And thank you to everyone who's on this call. I really find these calls valuable, and the fact that we get so many questions every 2 weeks, the fact that we get so many residents, and usually it's 8,000, 9,000, 10,000, really shows how much all of you care about the city, how much all of you understand this is such a serious situation with COVID. And I just want to thank everyone in Brampton for doing your part. And as much as things are getting a little bit trickier with escalating numbers with a potential second wave, I do believe the compliance we're getting in Brampton and the fact that people are taking this seriously is encouraging, and I am convinced we're going to get through this as a city and as a country. And keep up the great work, everyone.
Thank you very much, Mayor Brown, and you're right on time at 7:30, and congratulations to you and Genevieve. Enjoy the evening. We will go now to our next question from Fenella. Fenella?
Hello?
Hi, Fenella. Hi there. Go ahead with your question, please.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering how it is determined how many people go into a building or a business as customers. For instance, I was at Costco this morning, and I asked the greeter there that was counting the customers, how many people were in the store, and they said 350. And I asked how many were allowed, and they said 1,000, which I was very, very surprised at. So I was just wondering, how do you determine how many people go into a business? And I also wanted to thank everyone for having this town hall meeting every 2 weeks. It's very informative.
Thank you very much, Fenella. And I'll pass this over to Paul Morrison. I know Paul and his bylaw team are regularly out in the community at different venues and businesses, ensuring that social distancing is occurring. And I'll let him weigh in on what they do and how they evaluate these different businesses. Paul?
Absolutely. Thank you. As a matter of fact, I was at Costco yesterday talking to their management team, and the previous day we were online with their Eastern Province's vice president, and we were talking about how many people could be in Costco because it's one of the stores that draws a lot of attendance. And the greeter was right, 300 people was probably in the store, and they probably told you the maximum capacity, but Costco does not operate at that. They keep the numbers down well below the 500 number, and they do a lot of floor walking to make sure spacing is good. They're very concerned with social distancing and the wearing of masks. So when we look at stores, it's really, there's no hard, fast number. It's really what you feel you can put into the premise that allows proper 6-foot spacing between groups or individuals. And if it's overcrowded, it's a bit of a judgment call on the enforcement piece, but we look at that. If you're walking by people continually and you're too close, then we would say that social distancing is not being observed. And if there's good spacing, that 6-foot between groups or individuals, we would like to see that. But I can tell you specifically in the Costco example that you give, that they're very good at it. We learned a lot. Costco draws a lot of families. So when you see groups together, they're usually that social bubble that can be together, and that's allowed. It looks like a congregation of people, but it's simply usually family units and or very close friends.
Thank you very much, Paul. I'm going to go our next question. We're getting a number of different people inquiring about the status of our recreation programs in the city. And I know we have our Director of Recreation on the line, Anand Patel. And maybe, Anand, you could take us through a bit of a detailed explanation of what's available from a recreation standpoint in the city of Brampton currently.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, Anand, go ahead. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. So within the recreation centers within the city, we have the ability to drop in based on reservation only. You can still access the fitness areas within the centers. You can access public swims and public skates. We do not have general programming open at the moment. We have it slated in for later this month. However, we are meeting with Peel Public Health to see what the status of that would be. So that's in a nutshell. Right now, it is just fitness, swim, and skate. We do have sports rentals within the buildings as well, but it is all based on reservation only. If you do walk up to the center, we do have recreation ambassadors at the front doors. They will guide you. They'll teach you how and where you can register and reserve a spot as well. You can also call 311 for details on that, as well as going in and emailing us at recconnects@brampton.ca or going online at brampton.ca/recreation.
That's great. Thank you very much, Anand. I know a lot of people were wondering about our status of our recreation programs here at the city, so thank you very much. Our next question comes from Emma. Emma, are you there with your question, please?
Yes. This is regarding gathering restrictions. I'm thinking of hosting a lunch on Saturday. I have 5 adult kids and their spouses and children ages from 4 years old to 7. Altogether, we are 15. Is that within restrictions?
Thank you very much, Emma. That's a really great question, and I'm going to pass over to Paul Morrison, our Director of Bylaw Enforcement.
Hi, Emma. What I can tell you is, I guess my first question is, does everybody live under the same roof?
I believe they do not, Paul, so I'll pass that.
Okay, so Emma, you're only allowed up to 10 within the structure, 25 outdoors, 10 inside. So if all 10 live in the house, no problem, but if only 5 live in the house and you invite 10 people over for a total of 15, that wouldn't be allowed. That would be in excess of the 10 maximum that we allow.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Emma. And we'll go to our next question, which comes from Shakira. Shakira, if you're there, go ahead with your question, please.
Yes, thanks for having me. This question is in terms of testing. Is there a set number for testing in Brampton that you're trying to achieve per day? And if there is, are we reaching that threshold per day? If we're not, is there a campaign around testing and how to get people in the city of Brampton to get tested, to motivate them to get tested?
I'll pass this question over to Dr. Howe if she's able to respond, and also a little bit of information for people on the call here, where people can find some of the testing, the numbers and the case numbers. I know Peel Region provides a lot of great data, so maybe we could let everybody know where that is found.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks for the reference to our website. We have a COVID-19 dashboard on our website, peelregion.ca/coronavirus. And you can get daily updates on numbers in Brampton and in Peel. And it gives a great breakdown of different ages and the number of outbreaks in our institutions, for example. With regards to testing numbers, I know that our colleagues from OSLR are not yet on the line, but they will probably have the best information on capacity and the number of tests they are able to do. We do know that there was a recent announcement by the province to try to help with the increasing demand by restricting the testing to only those with symptoms, or if they've been referred by public health as a close contact of a case or in an outbreak setting. So we're hopeful that that we're able to manage the demand by having more stricter criteria to those who are at highest risk.
Thank you very much, Dr. Howe. Our next question comes from Mary. Mary, if you're there, go ahead with your question, please.
Yes, I'm just wondering if there's been any decision made about trick-or-treating for Halloween.
Thank you very much, Mary. And you know, I have Len Normand here who would like to weigh in on that. I know it's a topic on a lot of people's mind. It is fast approaching. We're just over a month away. And then I'll ask Dr. Howe, maybe if she can weigh in on any thoughts or discussions Peel Public Health has had about Halloween. So I'll turn it to Len first.
Yes, thank you very much, Mary, for your question. We are very much discouraging the usual practice of Halloween, of going out trick-or-treating and getting candy. What we are going to be doing at the city is we're actually looking at ways that we can actually have online Halloween events, and we are working right now with our youth task force on putting together some programs to allow kids to showcase their costumes and things like that, so that actually they do get a bit of Halloween without having the risk of going out and picking up the virus from candies or things that are given to them. You know, that transmission rate, you know, when you have people congregating in front of a door waiting for candies is something that we certainly don't recommend. So we're doing everything we can to still give a bit of the Halloween feeling to our youth in Brampton while still maintaining their safety. And maybe I'll let Dr. Howe to add more on that aspect.
Thanks very much, Ellen. So absolutely agree. We want to look into alternatives for Halloween, different ways of how we can celebrate a fun holiday without having the bunching and the crowding going door to door. I do know that the province as well is actively considering this question on the messaging around Halloween, so certainly stay tuned as we expect to hear more as well from the province.
Thank you very much, Len and Dr. Howe, and to Mary for the question. I know we can probably expect a lot more information about Halloween in the coming weeks, especially as we navigate through the next holiday, which coming up for a lot of people will be Thanksgiving. So we'll go now to our next question, which comes from Rowena. And Rowena, if you're there, go ahead with your question, please.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I believe, I understand that Peel Health runs school immunization programs for grade 7. Are they going to be doing it, pushing through with it this year? And if so, what is being done with it for families that have opted for remote online learning?
Thank you very much for the question, Rowena, and I'll pass this over to Dr. Howe with Public Health.
Thanks for the question, and really important to certainly still promote and get vaccines to protect against other diseases such as HPV, hepatitis B, and meningococcal, which are usually given in grade 7. At this point in time, we are still trying to evaluate the best and safest way of running school immunization programs. It's under active discussion at this time, and no firm decisions have yet been made, but we do understand that there is certainly a need to continue to vaccinate, but we're trying to just evaluate the safest way to do that, and we will certainly keep the parent community posted around any plans.
Thank you very much, Dr. Howe. Our next question comes from Nicole. Nicole, if you're there, go ahead, please.
Hi there. My question is, are we going to be looking at the list of symptoms for children, like how BC did, where they basically looked over at the symptoms list and they took it like runny nose, just because with cold season coming, allergies, children who are in childcare settings or in schools, it's notorious for having a runny nose and then like taking them out, getting them the COVID test. Are we just looking at maybe modifying those parameters?
That's a great question, Nicole. Thank you very much. And I'll ask Dr. Howe to elaborate about this and the impact on children and maybe to provide callers with ways to potentially differentiate between COVID and cold and flu.
Yeah, so that's a fantastic question and a really important one as kids are going to school and runny nose is a common symptom. We know that the Ministry of Health and the Ministries of Education are taking a look at the symptom list, and we believe that by early next week we'll be able to see what the updated list. We don't know what is going to be on that list at the moment. When you do the daily school self-screening tool, which is available online, goes through a list of symptoms and then also possible alternative causes for those symptoms. And while we do encourage you to have a low threshold to test, the best thing to do is if you're uncertain if the symptom is due to COVID or a chronic condition like allergies, is to speak to your healthcare provider to really get a sense on whether or not it is there. We have had cases where people thought it was their allergies, but they did get tested and they ended up being positive. So, you know, certainly things to look out for are any unusual symptoms with it. So certainly a fever is not common with allergies, or loss of taste or smell, or other kind of more distinguishing features. With regards to the difference between COVID, flu, and just regular cold symptoms, they do share a lot of those same characteristics, which is why if you're not sure, it's important to get tested.
That's great. Thank you very much, Dr. Howe. Again, just a reminder that we still have approximately 15 minutes left. If you'd like to ask a question this evening, please press star 3 on the phone and we'll try to get to your question. Our next caller is Fred. Fred, if you're there, go ahead, please.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Evening, everyone. My question has two parts, really. It has to do with the drop-off of electronics at the recycling centers. I know that was put on hold. I want to know if it's going to be resumed or we still just have to hold on to it for now. And the other part is regards to battery collection. I saw a notice today that it's going to be between October 19th and recycling pickup the following week. In previous years, we received bags to put the batteries in. Is there something we're going to put them in this year, a box or a bag or anything? That's what I wanted to find out.
Thank you very much, Fred. Well, we don't have regional staff with this expertise. We do have Alain Normand, our emergency manager, and he can provide some insight here for us.
So thank you for the question, Fred. And the recycling center is open, but of course they also have certain restrictions because they want to limit the number of people there at a time, and they want to maintain physical distancing. You have to go there and wear a mask if you're going to go and drop off anything. So they do have that, but the Peel website will give you all of the information. They're basically going to be sending out these plastic bags, as you say, to collect the batteries, and you'll be able to put that, but they're going to want you to put that on top of your green organic cart. And it's going to happen during the recycling week of November 17 or weeks of November 17 to 18. So whenever your recycling is happening on those 2 weeks, November 7 to 18, that's when you have to put those batteries in the plastic bag that will be provided to you by them. And so in the meantime, the collection is back, it's on, and you can go to the recycling center. If you want more information, please go to the Peel Region website. All the details of the recycling program are there, the dates, the way to get it, you know, how you function. And if you have any supplementary questions related to that, there's even a phone number to call there to reach directly the recycling center. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Alain, and to Fred for your question. Our next question goes to Ellen. Ellen, if you're there with your question, go ahead, please.
Hi. Thanks very much for doing this. I've got lots of information from them. I had a question whether there's actually any type of mandatory reporting by pharmacies or health professionals of people that are breaking quarantine. I was in the drugstore last week on Seniors Day, Thursday, when it was quite busy, and a gentleman was upset at the counter at the back that his prescription wasn't ready because he was in quarantine having come in from Switzerland the day before. Would the pharmacist be required to report him? Of course, nobody else would know his name except the pharmacist.
Thank you very much, Ellen. And I'll ask two people to respond to this. First to Dr. Howe to respond, and then I'll ask Deputy Patrick to weigh in on some of the quarantine protocols and how they're enforcing that in the region of Peel. Dr. Howe?
Yeah, thanks for the question. So certainly the requirements under the Quarantine Act are that people need to isolate unless they are seeking medical attention. It's unclear with the medication, certainly I think there could have been alternative ways of receiving the medication, perhaps through delivery and contactless drop-off. So there are exemptions if there are needed for that, but certainly we would encourage people to try to make alternative arrangements in that case.
Thank you, Dr. Howe. And maybe if Deputy Patrick, if you could just weigh in a little bit about how Peel Regional Police is dealing with those that are required to be in quarantine. Deputy Patrick?
Yes, thanks, Chief. I did mention earlier that people who are coming into Canada and are required under the Federal Quarantine Act to go into a 14-day quarantine We're proactively following up on those individuals. So we're providing a list daily. We go out, we contact those people to make sure they're abiding by the Quarantine Act. We're also responding to calls from people who, you know, may know of somebody who's supposed to be under quarantine, but they've seen them leaving the house or, you know, activities like that. So we'll follow up on those as well. You know, specific to your question, Alan, you know, that's a difficult one. You know, if somebody had called the police and the person was still there, obviously we would have investigated to see why they were there. You know, was there an exception? And, you know, even if they had left, perhaps we would have been able to get some details from the pharmacist to follow up on that individual. But again, sometimes difficult to actually lay charges because there are some exceptions, as the doctor indicated, for medical treatment, et cetera.
Great. Thank you very much, Dr. Howland, Deputy Patrick. We do have time for a few more questions this evening. We're going to go now to Victoria. Victoria, if you're there, go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm asking, I'm not sure who will answer the question. It's about the number of individuals that can attend a funeral in the region of Peel.
Thank you. Thank you, Victoria. And I think I'll pass this first over to Paul Morrison, and he can weigh in. And if there's any additional information required, we'll go over to Dr. Howe. Paul?
Absolutely. The number really is the 30% capacity of the church funeral home. However, we look at what social distancing can take place within there. We ask for less. We ask that we actually try to minimize the amount of people that go in. We also are concerned, and I'll throw this in, is that the ceremony for the funeral is one piece of a funeral, but the quite often there's a meal after, and that is not allowed as part of the funeral service. So we do want the numbers restricted to as low as we can get.
That's great. Thank you very much, Paul. And I'm not sure if Dr. Howe has any additional information with respect to funerals and or visitations in Peel region during this time.
Yeah, just to echo what our colleague has said around the limits around the 30%, but just to note that we have had cases and spread within funerals. It's a very tough time for people, and it is important but difficult, I understand, to maintain the distancing. And so even if there are capacity limits within a particular funeral home, we'd still encourage the families to try to use alternative means as much as possible, such as I know that people can, a lot of homes have now accommodated Zoom or other kind of electronic means of viewing the service, so that, you know, people have tried to just maintain within their particular households and immediate families. So although the limits might be higher, we have seen spread within these services and would encourage you to limit as much as possible.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Dr. Howe. Again, we have time for a couple more questions this evening. Our next question comes from Kim.
Kim? Hello.
Hi, Kim. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I live in an apartment building. Now, one of the problems I have is I'll go to the laundry room, elevators, everywhere. There's people not wearing masks at all. Like, a lot of them in the building aren't wearing masks. And at the park, none of the kids or the adults are wearing masks. What can be done about that?
Thank you very much, Kim, for the question. And I'll pass it over to our bylaw director here, Paul. Maybe you can weigh in on the rules with respect to masks in apartment buildings.
Hi, Kim. Great question. In the beginning, when COVID first came, there was no ruling on that by the provincial government. We now have a new ruling where it says the common areas, the elevators, the laundry rooms, et cetera, people should be wearing, must be wearing masks in those areas. Pretty much the only place in the building that you shouldn't have to wear a mask is in your own apartment itself. So when you do encounter somebody like that, we always ask that you advise them you should be wearing a mask. And if they're disagreeing with you or there's another concern, call 311, and we'd be happy to send an officer over and take a look at the situation.
That's great. Thank you very much, Paul. And I'd just like to give a shout-out to all of our bylaw enforcement and security team here at the city and those working at the region. They just done an incredible job of adapting to difficult circumstances that are changing on a rapid basis and out on the front line. So thank you very much to all of your staff that continue to do this great work every day. We have time for our next question, which comes from Anna. Anna, if you're there, go ahead, please.
Hi, thank you very much for having the town hall. So I work at a place where I am an evaluator, and we do max testing, and they're starting to set up phase two where the candidate does max testing, but they're breathing through a tube that is going through a filter, a HEPA filter. So my question is, A, do HEPA filters filter out the virus enough? And B, if they do, how often should they be changed?
Thank you very much, Anna. Very interesting question. I think I'll pass this over to Dr. Howe. Dr. Howe?
Thanks very much. Yes, so HEPA filters can be used to help to filter out the virus. With regards to the amount of the changing of the filter that would be required based on the particular machine that's being used. But it's also important to note that HEPA filters can sometimes have also like a big exhaust fan and blowing, so certainly wouldn't want that to be to still be careful about where that's being positioned. And generally to say while it can be an extra adjunct or an extra layer, it's not all your other measures still need to be in place around.
Hi there. I'm sorry. I think we got cut off. So I think, sorry, Dr. Howe, maybe you can go on here.
I think just to reinforce that, like any type of measure, we're talking about layers of protection. So certainly with ventilation, you still want to have as much as possible fresh air coming in, outdoor air coming in, and that is quite effective at increasing what we call the air exchanges within a particular setting. So that is still the actual exchange of new air is preferred as a adjunctive measure.
Thank you very much, Dr. Howe. So we have time for one more question this evening, and that comes from Doris. Doris, go ahead with your question, please.
Thank you very much for letting me speak. Last question. Just a quick question. I thought I heard the Peel public health person say that the social bubble is now shrunk to the size of the immediate family. Is that correct?
Thank you, Doris, and I'll turn this over to Dr. Howe one last time. Dr. Howe.
Thanks for the question. So our recommendation is for you to try to adhere as much as possible to maintaining your own household and essential supports within your own household. So the current provincial regulations are 10-person limits within a home that you don't need just physical distancing. We certainly recognize that for people, they actually might live in larger households, and so that is a challenge for them because their actual household is maybe larger than 10. But certainly what we're just trying to encourage is that general messaging of reducing your contacts as much as possible.
Thank you very much, Dr. Howe, and thank you very much to all of the different experts on the line. Thank you for your time and helping to answer all these great questions. That's all the time that we have for today, and I want to thank everyone for joining us. We had over 8,000 participants join us this evening. And for all information and up-to-date information related to COVID-19 and how to best protect yourself and your loved ones, please visit the Region of Peel's website or follow on social media, along with the City of Brampton's website at brampton.ca and on social media. Thank you very much. Please stay safe and take care. Have a good evening.